Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to just be back. If you're excited about Jesus, can you just give some claps of praise? Maybe on the chat, just put some emoticons, some hallelujahs, some amens. Just thanking the Lord for his grace and mercy. As we get into our service today, I just want to give some announcements. I really need you to be in prayer for our church family. We have been going through. We had a funeral on yesterday for Minister Booker. And today, this afternoon at 1:30, we'll have the visitation for Mother Pauline Mack. She passed and went to be with the Lord. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll have the funeral. So today, at 2700 West Vandalia Road, we will have the funeral services for Mother Pauline Mack that has made such an impact on the Ebenezer church family life. 1:30 will be visitation, and 2 o'clock will actually be that funeral service. She will be buried in the Ebenezer cemetery, and then we'll have a repast after. So please, just pray for us all and pray for the Mack family that we be encouraged in times like these. Just want to thank you, as always, for being living epistles, people who love the Lord and are an example of him in times like this. On my backdrop, you can see Next Level, and that's where we want to take it. Today, as we get back into talking about fulfilling our calling, we're going to ebb it up. We're really going to look into, okay, God, how can you use us as these living epistles in these days and these times? I want to thank you also for being witnesses for Christ and sharing your faith. You can use our website at ebcnc.com. We've got a lot of things there. You know, if you want to learn about salvation, if you want to learn about witnessing more, opportunities, please just check into ebcnc.com. Also, we've got a lot of teachings. We've got Monday Manna, where we have various teachings to encourage us. Tuesday, Noonday Bible Study, where we're going through the book of Genesis. We've got Wednesday Bible Study on our virtual connection, also at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke. And we even have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, right in our sanctuary, where we're going the book of 1 Corinthians. As always, please continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person services on Sunday and our 10:45 in-person service on Sunday, and this 10 o'clock online virtual connection that has blessed so many near and far. And we thank God for just allowing us to have the technology to do that. Finally, want to thank you for your giving. Your giving has been amazing. Whether you're giving through our app or you're sending it in a secure mailbox or your in-person service, I am so glad that we all have embraced that God loves a cheerful giver, that we can purpose in our heart and we don't have to worry about giving grudgingly or out of necessity, but we can give just because we have been blessed. Any amen, just say amen wherever you are, amen in the chat, just because God has been so, so good to us. There are many things that you can do as far as outreach and giving. You might say, Pastor, I want to do more. Well, we've got Feed the Hungry. Actually, it's happening today in Central Park. Come on out, and there we're giving out clothing, giving out food. Again, there's a lot that's going on today. Maybe you're ushering at the funeral today. Maybe you are, again, witnessing to somebody, and they are getting saved on the streets. You can invite them to the church family or invite them to the virtual connection. There's so many ways that we can stand for the Lord in this season and time. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God. I am ready to get in it as we're going to take it to the next level, dealing with the callings that God has put in our lives. I want you to be prepared. So let's take a time of worship and seeking His face. We'll see you soon.
I'll be reading John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You do not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. John 15, verses 9 through 17.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry, and I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to give me victory. Well, I know my Redeemer. Payment for my sins was the precious life he gave, but now he's alive and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Testify, let his life within me cry, and I know my Redeemer lives.
And it's so good to know that we know that our Redeemer lives. Any hallelujahs? I know that he lives, and he is such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Well, before we get started today, getting back into fulfilling our calls, I pray that really it's kind of been shaking you, that you've been thinking about, okay, what has God called me to do, to be? We're really going to dig deep today, but let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for allowing us to be able to connect today, Lord, and we just want you to be exalted. We want you to be bigger than the technology, bigger than our phones and our TVs, our internet connections, Lord. We need you to reside with us and speak to us in our situation. I pray for those who are looking and listening in, Lord, who don't know you, that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You're our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we get back into our memory scripture during this season of fulfilling our calling, we've been reading it. We've been reading it aloud so we can get it into our mind. It can seep into our hearts. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19, and I want you to please read it aloud with me. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good to know? We are not our own. And today we're going to a book that has been challenging, especially as this prophet, his name is Jeremiah. He has to go through so much to fulfill the call that God has put on his life. So today, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I want us to focus in on this sixth verse. Jeremiah chapter 1, and I want us to go to that sixth verse. It reads, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." Isn't that heavy? I want to read that again. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." I want to speak from a title today, What's Your Excuse? What's your excuse? In the chat, can you put that? Because I kind of want you to, you know, like you're asking your neighbor if you were actually in a in-person service, say, what's your excuse? If you're in a group, you're sitting beside someone, I want you to just scream out to them. Don't be mean about it. Just say, what's your excuse? Maybe you're in a nursing facility and you're looking at this and you've got a roommate over there. Just say, what's your excuse? Because I want that to get in your mind as we're thinking about the fulfillment of our calling. Our time frame that we're getting into is about 600 approximately BC, and we pick up this really big character in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is often known, if you talk to older people, as the weeping prophet, because when you read through the book of Jeremiah, he cries a lot. He complains a lot. Sometimes he's like, God, use me. And other times he's like, God, don't use me. But ultimately, he has a struggle with his calling, but God still shows up in a profound way within his life. Theologians struggle with the time or date that he was as far as his age was concerned. And so we're going to settle around probably about 25 years old when he really gets this call. So he is a young man in a sense, and that's what we're going to hear throughout the scriptures. His ministry actually spanned about 40 years. 40 years. That's big. I think about the pastors that I've come under, even the pastor of Ebenezer, Pastor Meredith Gladdy, and how long he was there. I've been at Ebenezer going on 25 years. 40 years of ministry is pretty outstanding in being used of the Lord, especially in the situation that Jeremiah was in. He was not like, because his prophecies that came forth were actually telling about judgment to come, telling about that the Israel was going to have to go into captivity because they refused to follow God. And he was dealing in a time, speaking in a time where people were going contrary to the word of God, and they were believing what they wanted to believe. Sound familiar is our time. What's your excuse? Let's get into the scripture. Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now here, as we begin to kind of peel back this, we see that Jeremiah comes from a priestly family, according to the scriptures. And so I know I come from a line of preachers, so I can identify with this. So there's some level of expectation for you to really step up and to be all that God would have you to be. But as it continues on in that second verse, it says, "The land of Benjamin, to who the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month." Here's our first point. God initiates the call. Yes, God initiates the call. So all of these precepts that we just read within the scriptures are important because it puts us in our setting. We realize also there's an important part because Jeremiah's name actually means the Lord exalts. Comes from a priestly family. Names are so important. And so when the parents named Jeremiah, his dad decided, okay, we're going to agree on this. His name meant the Lord exalts. And so I've taught on this a lot. Your name means a lot. If you don't know what your name means, you need to research it and get some background, because literally when people are speaking that, they're speaking prophetic words within your life. Now notice this Jeremiah 1:2 again, at least that first part, God initiates the call to whom the word of the Lord came. Jeremiah has no choice in this. None at all. God initiates the call. And you've got to realize that God has already initiated the call within your life. I'm telling you, I want you to think about that. There's already a seed that's been deposited in you. And I'm going to prove by the scriptures, at least using Jeremiah and his selection, that it was from the foundations of the world that God did this. This is a hard concept to grasp when we think about, okay, God has already initially put a calling to fulfill in my life before I was even conceived within the womb. I believe oftentimes we hear his voice, but we go in a contrary way, a contrary manner. I was just thinking today in kind of processing this, you know, when do we get in touch with our call? I personally believe, and I'll show you later on within the scriptures, that it's early in life. I believe that there was something about some of you when you were you were a kid, used to, you know, maybe do the cook set, you know, the Barbie cook set, since the Barbie movie's out, and used to make the little cakes and stuff, and you were passionate about that. Or maybe you were before that and you were making mud pies and that's just what you did. I believe that could be a part of your calling. Maybe you liked fabric and you liked clothing and when you were young, and that was just a passion or drive. Maybe God is using that particular calling within your life. Maybe when you were young, you just like to tell people what to do. You know, you like to boss them around. Maybe you would make a good teacher, you know, just telling people. I do believe that when we are young, we are more sensitive to those callings. And what happens as we get older, we decide to go offer things that, you know, maybe offer us more money, what people think that we should be, but we're never satisfied until we actually walk in the calling that God has put within us. What's your excuse? Warren Wiersbe, he really captures the thought. He says, God's word to Jeremiah was, you will be what I want you to be, go where I want you to go, and say what I want you to say. You're like, I know bristles come up, but God is God, right? He's God alone. What's your excuse? He's already put the calling in you to fulfill, and our biggest thing is submitting to his will. As believers, we have to embrace, and we talk about this scripture so much, that Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, here it is, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. I need a quick typist. Can you put reasonable? I know it's a little long. Just put reasonable. That is the baseline of what God has called us to do. What's your excuse? But it goes on in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's your excuse? We have to come to the point of saying, God, okay, whatever you are causing to grow in me, I want to embrace that. And then there's another scripture from 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. In essence, when we were saved, when we accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, we were bought. God bought us with the blood of his son, Jesus. Look at Jeremiah 1:4. So God initiates the call. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Here's the point. What were you created for? Yes, What were you created for? Now, I know it's big, all right, pastors. I just wanted to tune in. I wanted to get excited. We'll get excited momentarily as we really begin the process. But we got to ask ourselves, why did God create me? Why was I born? It wasn't because your mom and dad came together. God knew that you would be with that family. He knew that you would go in the situation. So you really have to have an impact. Many people are going through life desponding because they haven't answered this question. Look at Jeremiah 1:5. It is conclusive. If Jeremiah's around that 25th year of his life, he's maybe was trying to figure out, am I going to be a priest? Or what are you going to do? But this comes to him. The word God initiates that call. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, separated you, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In essence, God says, before you even knew who you were, as said earlier, I had already had a plan for your life. I had already ordained you a prophet to Israel, to your nation, to speak words that you're not even going to like. C.F. Kiel in his book, Prophecies of Jeremiah, really captures the root of the Hebrew that is a struggle here to really see how conclusive God's calling is. God has chosen him, has consecrated him, and has installed him as a prophet. I want to read it again. God has chosen him, has consecrated him, and has installed him as a prophet. What's your excuse? I want you to ask yourself, what has God chosen you to do? Yes, you put the finger at yourself. What has God chosen you to do? What has God consecrated you to do? I'm telling you, his life, his anointing has been upon you. He's given you that vitality. And then finally, what has God installed you to do? Yes, where has God placed you to actually fulfill that calling that God has put in your life? There has to be a place to work that out. Vincent Van Gogh, a famous artist, had a lot of struggles in his life. He gave this profound quote. He says, your profession is not what brings home your weekly paycheck. Your profession is what you're put here on earth to do with such passion and such intensity that it becomes spiritual in calling. Whew. I think that deserves reading one more time. Your profession is not what brings home your weekly paycheck. And oftentimes we've been pushed that. We've made excuses because of our paycheck, but our calling supersedes that. Your profession is what you're put here on earth to do with such passion and such intensity that it becomes spiritual in calling. What's your excuse? Look as this continues on, Jeremiah 1:6. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I love this point. Overcoming cannot. Yes, overcoming cannot. C-A-N-N-O-T. Overcoming cannot. This is such a challenge. I believe this big challenge that happens in all of our lives is overcoming cannot in our own minds. In our own minds. Just, can you put in the chat own mind? Just say my own mind, my own mind. Overcoming the cannot. So the word youth here within the Hebrew, it could actually encompass up to the age of 45. And so if you're 45 or under, you could be considered, at least in the context of this scripture, as young. If Jeremiah was around 25, he was, and he's trying to embrace this call, and he's like, I can't do this. I'm not old. I have not yet reached 46 yet, or 47, or the age of 50. We learn in the New Testament, though, that when we start to submit ourselves and we stop making excuses, Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What's your excuse? What is our excuse? If God says with him all things are possible and we're submitting ourselves, we should say, God, use me for your service. Paul the Apostle affirms this in Philippians 4:13. Many of us have memorized this scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What cannot are you fighting right now? Can I say that again? What cannot are you fighting right now? What are you saying? You know, yeah, I know my calling, but I cannot. Or I cannot because I got to do this. Or I cannot because of my family situation. Or I cannot because I have a health issue. What cannots are you fighting? I want you to decide. You're going to give your cannots to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that with you, all things are possible. Any hallelujahs out there? What's your excuse? Look at Jeremiah 1:7. But... yeah, so God's like, okay, I'm hearing all these excuses, these cannons, but it changes the whole conversation. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Here's the point. I am who God says I am. They ought to be. I see some of y'all, you shouting around the room already, because this is an affirmation. I am who God says I am. That's the world speaks at us. There's so much chatter, and there's so much noise, and there's so much stress, and there's so much news, and people trying to tell us who we are. But we are who God says we are, and we have to accept that and embrace that, because when we finally get to that point, that's when the peace like a river can flow within our lives. God tells Jeremiah, stop saying I'm a youth. Stop saying I'm inexperienced, because it's not about you anyway. It's about my provisions for you. If I provide for you, you are who I say you are. Jeremiah had to understand this Psalms 119 that blesses me so much, this portion. It says, your laws never leave my mind, and they make me much wiser than my enemies, in that 98th verse. And that 99th verse, this is thinking about your teaching gives me better understanding than my teachers, and obeying your laws makes me wiser than those who have lived a long time. I obey your word instead of following the way that leads to trouble. In essence, I am who you say I am. That verse 102, you have been my teacher, and I won't reject your instructions. And then it says, your teachings are sweeter than honey. In any amens, anybody out there say, I can understand you, Pastor. I am with you. What's your excuse? Notice this, Jeremiah 1:8 again. A guy gives explicit directions. He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. How many of us have been dissuaded by faces? Now, I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I stand before people, and you know, I just try to focus in. I want to hear what God is telling me, and I'm really trying not to look at the crowds and the people, because there are all kinds of faces. You know, there's some people that have indigestion out there. There's some people that are really suffering with debilitating disease out there. There's some people that their minds are on somewhere else. They're just thinking about going to the local restaurant afterwards, or some are in relationship issues. So God tells Jeremiah, don't focus on their faces. You are who I tell you you are. You've got to stop making excuses and just do what I tell you to do. And that's what God is speaking to us. Stop looking at the faces and deliver the word. Stop looking at the faces and do what God is telling you to do. Go where God is telling you to go. God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. God spoke this to Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I guess our fight is actually just answering that question of who has God called us to be. Moses actually had some issues. He was concerned. God was sending him back to his people to bring a word. And Moses, he did. He brings this question. He says, God, who do I tell them you are? You know, what's your name? And what Moses was trying to get at, he was like, if you don't know your name, how are you going to tell me what I need to do in my life? And God comes back with this profound statement within the scriptures. We pick up Exodus 3:13 to get the context of that. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? That 14th verse, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. Can I get a quick typist out there to say, I am who I am. That's the name of God. That's what God was saying. God is like, I am whatever you need me to be. I am more than enough in the situation. You don't need a specific name because you know what? I'm a shifter. I can change. I can be a doctor in the sick room. I can be a lawyer in a courtroom. I can be a mind regulator for those who are having emotional and depressive episodes. Anybody know him? God is who he needs to be in whatever situation we're going through. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. What's your excuse? If God is all of that, and he's already put the seed of the calling on the inside of us, don't look at their faces. What is our excuse? Let's pull this all together. Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Remember that first point. God initiates the call. What's your excuse? Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Final point of the day, a touch from the Lord. Yes, a touch from the Lord. Anybody need a touch from the Lord? As we look at this Jeremiah 1:9, I do. This really, God just kind of puts the icing on the cake. I've called you. You are who I said you are. I've initiated the call in your life. Stop making excuses. Jeremiah 1:9, and then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. We've overcome the cannots. All right. You've gone through that. I am putting my words in your mouth. You don't even have to speak per se anything of yourself. I have already provided everything that you need. What have you been touched for? Yes. How has God touched you in your life that you can walk forth in the calling? Even if we deny that, God has put so many blessings within our lives. There are people that are musicians and accomplished musicians in their home, and God is calling you to use that maybe in a local fellowship or to bless someone in a nursing facility. There's some people that are accomplished vocalists in their homes, but they're not using that to bless others, to encourage them. What is God already touched you for in your life, but yet you're afraid to walk in it? Today we say, what is your excuse? The Gaither Vocal Band always bless me, but they came out with this song and they sang it. I love their harmonies. They brought it forth. They said, shackled by a heavy burden beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. Since I met that blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made behold, oh, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Any witnesses out there? Look at this Jeremiah 1:10. It says, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. In essence, God has already spoken. He said, this is what you're going to do. I've already set it up. I've already, again, given you everything you need to do these things. And I know you're saying you can't, but I've already said that you can. It is so good to know that we have a God that's bigger than us. Any hallelujahs out there? It is so good to know that God has done what he needs to do on the inside, and we just need to say, God, fulfill the calling in my life that you've already placed there. Well, our ultimate example is Jesus. You know him? Yes, I am so glad for Jeremiah. He went through his struggles, but there's a better Jeremiah. In the New Testament, his name is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. We find out that Jesus embraces his calling from the foundation of the earth. He comes from heaven to earth, walk among men. But as he's 100% God and 100% man, we see something in Luke 2:41 that I want to encourage our young people to realize. As taught earlier, God has already put the calling on the inside. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, can you put in the chat 12? Yes, 12. I do. I believe we have a sense of our calling at an early early ages said before, and we just need to peel back. If you're older than 12, you just got to think, what has dissuaded you? What is taking you off the track? At 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Now, at this point, we look at it from being like, man, they lost Jesus. But Jesus was never lost. Look at that 44th verse. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and saw him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. I'm telling you, we've got to really groom our young people to let them know you need to embrace that calling early in life. You don't need to get off track and get all muddled with other stuff within your life. Luke 2:47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. But here's the word. What's your excuse? That's Luke 2:49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? That's what it's all about, that we've got to be about our father's business when we get into the word of God, when we start to pray and get excited about him using us in miraculous ways. I believe that's when it begins to blossom in our mind. We even embrace John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Or what's your excuse? Jesus has set that ultimate example. I'm so glad he didn't stop here with age 12, but he goes into full-blown ministry, heals the sick, even raises the dead. But he goes to a garden called Gethsemane, and there he suffers for us because he knew his callings. What's your excuse? Hebrews 12:3 gives us insight in what was going on. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I'm so glad to know a Christ that could push through even as sweat as drops of blood permeated from his pores. I'm so glad that he exited from the garden, that he allowed himself to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He allowed himself to be beaten all night long. He allows himself to go to the cross of Calvary. He carries our griefs and our pains and our burdens. And I'm so glad for a God like that, that on that cross of Calvary cries out, it's finished. You know what? When he cried out, it was finished, it took away all of our excuses. It took away all of our cannots. It lets us know that God initiates the call. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, remember when they circled back around to find Jesus? It took 3 days. 3 days later, Jesus gets up with all power and all glory for you and me, and now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us that we can cease the excuses. No more excuses. We have to recognize that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Saints, I'm excited about these days. I see things changing quickly. I see the political realm shifting. I see all these storms coming in and trees breaking, power outages. I see wildfires in Hawaii, paradises being destroyed. I'm telling you, I believe that it's getting late. Yes, we've got movies that are talking about a nuclear holocaust, and we've got other things that are thinking about, hey, who are we? What is our identity? And what I'm thinking about right now, I'm thinking about Jesus and his calling on our lives. What's your excuse? If you are saved, there is no excuse. If you're not saved, your first step to fulfilling the calling that God has put on your life is to get saved. Yes, the scriptures are clear. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says you will be saved. That's good news. It's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Would you accept that gift today? That's your first step. And once you accept that gift, peace comes in. And you start to realize, okay, God, use me. I got a lot of stuff to work out, but that's why I need a Savior. We all need a Savior. For the saints who have been saved and you've been walking in God for a period of time, I'm telling you, God wants more from you. I was in our Thursday night Bible study, and I God put in my heart, and I asked those that were there, I said, can you give 1% more? And I had them raise their hand. You know what? Everyone raised their hand that they could give 1% more to actually being used of the Lord. And so I ask you that. Can you give 1% more? Just 1% more. Maybe that 1% is, you know, 1% reading His Word, or 1% more in prayer, 1% more in worship, 1% more on missionary outreaches, or even in giving. Just 1% more. Can you do that? Because I believe God is calling us to the next level. Yes, He wants us to step it up. And we've got to say to ourselves, no more excuses. No more excuses. I also want to pray momentarily for those who are going through. I realize some of you have some sickness, disease, compromise, immune systems, and you're like, Pastor, you don't know what I'm up against. Well, I put before you, no more excuses. Maybe God has allowed you to have that so that you can walk in an amazing faith. We've got some people, dear saints, that come to our in-person service, and I'm blessed. They're challenged with diseases such as lupus and multiple sclerosis and other things, cancers, and they press through. You know, they're watching out for their health, but at the same time, they're saying, God, I want to be used in my situation. That's where it has to come to, because saints of God, we're in a season and time. Again, I can hear the clock ticking. Can't you hear it? Tick, tick, tick. Well, what does God want to use you for? What has God already initiated in your life? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, thank you for this word, for using Jeremiah even in all his struggles, and for using us in all our struggles. Father, your grace has been so, so sufficient. You've dealt with us through our good times and our bad times. So now we ask you, Lord, use us. Use us at a greater level. We want to give 1% more, 2% more, 3% more. We want to give all to you, as Romans 12:1 lets us know. Lord, I pray for those who are getting saved right now, who are lifting up their hands or crying out to you and saying, God, I need a Savior. They're confessing their sins and they're asking you to come into their lives. Lord, ask you to use them. You're a God that can redeem time. Even the time that we've lost, you're able to make it fruitful for us, Lord, and we thank you for that. Now, Father, I pray as we go through this day that we be cognizant of your voice, that we submit, and we walk out the calling that you put in our lives. Lord, no more excuses. Thank you again for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why He came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fall. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.